This morning our scripture is from Matthew and from Colossians. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. The angel's appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And for fear of the angel, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then quickly go and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So the women left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And from Colossians, "Because of the risen Christ, so if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are here on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." Blessings, Randy, as you come to minister.
Thank you, Chris, for bringing the word to us this morning. It's great to be together, Whitmer Heights, and friends, family. Let's begin with a time of prayer. Our God, we thank you for this morning, this Easter morning. We thank you for this scripture that tells the story of a risen Lord. We invite your Holy Spirit here as we learn together what it means to worship you and follow you. Thank you that you are alive. In Jesus' name, amen. As a pastor, the story of Holy Week is significant. It's the climax of the Christian calendar. It's even bigger than Christmas, believe it or not. And yet, preaching on Easter poses some challenges because it's a story that is so familiar that we have heard over and over and over again if you have grown up in the church. So what is the challenge? I think the challenge is to engage the story in fresh ways. Engage the gospel with the awareness that the gospel changes us, and to be ready for that, even in the familiarity of the story. It's easy for our mind to go to autopilot. And so this morning, as we engage in this story again, I encourage all of us to enter into it with fresh eyes and ears. Has there ever been a time when we need to hear this story more than ever? God knows, we know, we need resurrection in our world and in our lives. This is a great story. This is a good story. This is the gospel. And if it's not good, it's not the gospel. The gospel is good news. And so this is a good story this morning for all of us. This is a story of resurrection and life. In Matthew, we can start all the way back in the beginning, where Jesus' birth is shadowed by death. Jesus, in Matthew, the story tells us that all the other two-year-olds were killed. And that's why Jesus escaped to Egypt. Jesus' life in the very beginning of Matthew is surrounded by other death and suffering and violence. We feel that same suffering and violence in our world today. But Matthew, through the story, shows us a Jesus that doesn't let death have the final word. Jesus' death on the cross brings the promise of resurrection for all. According to Matthew, the first witnesses in this resurrection story are two of the same women who watched Jesus die. Having seen Joseph of Arimathea bury Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and we're told the other Mary, now come again early on the first day of the week to look at the tomb. Mary Magdalene's identity is clear, but who is the other Mary in this story? In all likelihood, the other Mary is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Can you imagine that? The mother of Jesus. Though the evangelist's decision not to identify her explicitly as Jesus' mother may seem a little bit odd, part of the effect that it has here is not to emphasize her biological relationship to Jesus, but it's that it's her role as a follower of Jesus, as a disciple of Jesus. In both Mark and Luke, the women find the stone already rolled away from the tomb when they arrive. But in Matthew, it's a little bit different. The women experience the earthquake and see the angel descend, roll away the stone, and sit on it. And the angel's first words, so important for us this morning to hear these same words, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Whitmer Heights and community, because we have a good story of hope in a fearful world. Don't be afraid. The angel is commanding them to reject the current state of fear that surrounds them, for the news that they are about to hear is good news that will bring joy and breaks fear. This great good story tells us that even us in our own world today do not need to live in fear. Fear, we are told by the angels, is not at the heart of resurrection, but joy and trust in a living God is what resurrection is all about. And if we move to the Colossians text this morning, which is the epistle reading from the lectionary, we in some ways see how the gospel story has become our own story in Colossians. Because of the resurrection, we're told we too can have life. We too have died and have been risen with Christ. As we've been saying all morning and in the sunrise service, a common Easter exchange is Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Well, a Colossians variation of that theme or phrase might be this. I have died. I have been raised with Christ. I have died. I have been raised with Christ. That's what Colossians text is saying here. And that is what baptism is all about. Oftentimes, on Easter, you celebrate baptisms. And my hope is that in the future at Whitmer Heights, we can be celebrating baptisms on Easter. But why does baptisms fit so well on Easter? It's because of this very thing that we great story, that just as Jesus died and went to the cross, but death did not have the final say and there is resurrection, so in our baptisms, we die to ourself. We die to the sin that holds us down. We die to the things of our flesh and earthly nature. But that does not have the final say in our baptism. Baptism is all about being raised up again with Christ. And that public declaration of following Jesus. What does Colossians say? I have died and I have been raised with Christ. And then it tells us to set our mind on the things above. By faith, we do this. Faith gives us the lens to see where God is at work. In the midst of a fearful, violent, hurting world right now, in the midst of our own sin and brokenness, it's faith in Jesus that gives us the ability to be able to set our minds on more than just the sin, but on the hope in Jesus. And then once we set our minds to actually act on it and obediently follow and joyfully follow Jesus. And so this morning, this Easter morning, we have a great, good story. And we ask together, how do we tell this story? How do we live this story? How do we make this story our own? How do we share it in the world today? And so it is a very simple question I ask. Where do you see resurrection happening? In your own life, in your family, in your community, and in the world. In our church, where do we see new life and resurrection? So I have a couple examples that I want to share, and I would encourage all of you to be thinking about your own stories of resurrection. The first story I'm going to share comes from our own Anabaptist tradition, all the way back in 1528 in Augsburg, Germany. 1528. Almost 100 Anabaptists were rounded up by the authorities during worship and told to denounce their faith. Some of those arrested lost their lives for refusing to do so on Easter morning. Lawyer Hans Leopold, one of the Anabaptists arrested, eventually was sentenced to die. Mercifully, they said, by the sword rather than by burning. Said Leopold, when he was told he would pass from life to death, no, from death to life. Near the end of our then there's many, many tours that have gone back to where the Anabaptists first were living. And near that is a Catholic cathedral. And there's a sculpture of Max Joseph Metzger, a Catholic priest, who gave his life during the war in 1944 resisting the Nazis. Metzger believed that the Christian task was to preach the peace of Christ and to put our weapons down. Metzger said he was ready to give up his life for the unity of the church and for the peace of the world. Reminiscent of Hans Leopold, the Anabaptist, more than 400 years earlier, Metzger, this Catholic priest, said before he also was put to death, I do not go from life to death. No, I go into death. No, I go into life. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Where else do we see resurrection and peace happening? This past week, the youngest Nobel Peace Prize winner ever, Malala Yousafzai, was speaking at McCaskey High School in Lancaster and at Church World Service. She has gained international attention when a Taliban gunman shot her because she attended school. And in 2014, Yousafzai was a co-recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize for her activism against the suppression of children, young people, and the right for all children to be educated. And I think the fact that Church World Services invited her to speak, and the way that she spoke of Lancaster as the refugee capital of the world, and as a place where we want to see that continue, that was significant for our community. And while maybe we don't know how this Nobel Peace Prize winner has experienced the resurrection of Jesus in her own life, I believe in the mystery of how God works in this world, that we saw a glimpse of the resurrection in her coming to Lancaster. We see it in our church relationships. And a few weeks ago, we, Whitmer Heights, received a letter from Santa Marta Church in Colombia, Bogota, Colombia. She says, "Pastor Randy Keener, members of the board, and members of Whitmer Heights Mennonite Church, we thank the Lord to have the chance of knowing about your church through the family of our brothers, Mauricio and Alexandra." And they go on to share about their congregation, their church, God of Peace, located in the south part of Bogota City, in a very vulnerable area of violence, where there is many needs and lack of opportunities. And yet, in the midst of those challenging circumstances, they just really encouraged my own heart, the way that they are working for peace, working to see the way God can transform lives. And there's a small church of only 25 baptized members, 20 children, and a group of young people and teenagers, but they are working to bring peace in Bogota and share the love of Jesus. And we have an opportunity as a sister congregation to be blessed by getting to know them and pray for them. That's a glimpse of resurrection this morning. There's another place where I've seen resurrection. This is a glimpse, my friends, of resurrection. It's a prayer blanket. And as this was being stitched together to give to someone hurting and going through a very difficult time, probably in the hospital, people were praying for this person. And as a chaplain in the hospital, I have been able to give prayer blankets to people. And it's one of the most beautiful things that we can do, to wrap someone in this, in a very difficult time, and know that you are being held in prayers, even though they maybe didn't know who you were. That is resurrection in our world today. And so we have a great, good story that we are a part of. If you look at the end of Matthew, where we read this morning, it ends with the Great Commission. "Go and tell people about this story," Jesus says. And even in the end of this text here that we read this morning, they're told to go and tell the disciples, brothers, it says, but in the Greek text, we could easily know that that is meant to say brothers and sisters. Jesus certainly had women disciples too, these two women who were at the tomb, disciples of Jesus. So brothers and sisters, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, commissioned by Jesus himself, become the first apostles, sent out. With great joy, they obey Jesus' command, bearing witness to the risen Christ. The gospel that began with a man afraid to marry his disgraced betrothed, in that fear of Joseph, and yet the trust in God to marry, we see a beautiful story of hope. And what does this story end with? A command to the women becomes a command to all of us. Stop being afraid and go tell more people about this great good story. Share this story. Sing this story. That's what we've done this morning. And how do we continue to share this story? If it's a story that you don't know about, we want to tell you about a God that desires relationship with you through Jesus our Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit that brings new life. That's a story all of us want to share. It's a good news story. And in the midst of a lot of brokenness right now, I'm encouraged by the stories where I see resurrection happening in our world. And I want all of you to be thinking too about resurrection. Resurrection this morning and good news. Let's pray. God, just as you commanded these women to go and tell the story, we know that you are asking the same of us. And so this morning we tell this story through singing together, through reading the scriptures, through remembering stories of how you are at work and where we see resurrection. God, as you continue to bring new life, show us how we can join you in that work of participating in the renewal of all things. Thank you, God, for this good story. In Jesus' name, amen.